livestock and in the fruit of your soil. For the Lord will again take delight in prospering you, just as he delighted in prospering your ancestors. When you obey the Lord your God by observing his commandments and decrees that are written in the book of the law, because you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Surely this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross to the other side of the sea for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it? No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe. Psalm this morning is Psalm 25, 1 through 10. We shall read this together. To you, O
Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Do not let those who wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your paths, Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and be of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast, love, and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his decrees.
The second lesson this morning is Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father, and of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel, that has come to you, just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world. So it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learn from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Yeah. Sins lessons.
Thank you. to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said this to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated, and I invite any children who are here to come forward for a message with me on the steps. Walks by and just Jesus walks by and just leaves him there. And then this person comes who other people don't really like very much. They're kind of different. And he decides to stop and to help this man. And Jesus tells us that this story tells us something about who God is. What do you think? What do you think this story means?
I know what.
Who is our neighbor?
Jesus.
Jesus is our neighbor? Sure. Who else is our neighbor? Our family members? Absolutely. Who else might be our neighbor?
God.
Well, in this story, when this guy is sitting on the road, who comes to help him?
The Good Samaritan.
Yeah, and he's like a guy that other people don't really like very much. Do you think maybe he is this man's neighbor? Do you think that our neighbor is just people we like? No. Our neighbor is everyone in the world. And so Jesus, in our story today, tells us that we are supposed to treat our neighbor out of love. Sometimes that's like this box, right? It's hard to understand and we don't fully get it. And so we keep coming back to Jesus' stories, to Jesus' valuable stories, to Jesus' gifts to us, so that someday maybe we might understand. Do you think that you'll keep returning to Jesus' stories to try and understand more and more each time?
Yes.
Me too. Me too. Thanks for coming up and for listening. And for looking at this box, there's just some papers on the inside. It's really not a gift. I thought I'd have to be fair and show you that. It's a different parable than this side, actually. You guys can head back to your seats. Thanks for coming up. Very good.
If you all would pray with me. Dear God, thank you for loving us. We know that you would do anything for us. Show us how to take care of our neighbor. Amen.
Amen.
I think parables are so poignant because they call us to read ourselves into the story. And I don't know if it's because we learn them when we're really young in Sunday school, but this specific story that we learn as children, this Good Samaritan story, I'm pretty sure it's one of those in the Bible that if I asked you, you could tell it by heart. And you do a really good job. But I wonder what we miss because we've convinced ourselves that we already know this story. Where have we stopped listening to God's voice speaking to us through the story and just assume that we know all there is to know? Mm-hmm. I'm going to let you in on a little Vicar Maria secret. When approaching a biblical text, in sermon preparation, I like to wonder about the text. And I look at Pastor Kate because she and I always laugh about how much wondering I do.
It's a lot.
But for whatever reason, it's in wondering that I allow myself to think outside of the box, to open up a story to new possibilities. It is in wondering that I get out of the way and allow God to speak. Sometimes God speaks a word that I'm barely ready to hear, let alone share it as a public witness with all of you. But nevertheless, that is what God has called me to do. Preach his word, not mine. And so I began to wonder about this text. I wonder, who am I in this story? And that led me down a fairly normal path where I wondered, am I one of those priestly fellows who walked by on the other side of the road? Possibly I am just too busy to help, or I have other things to do, or maybe what I believe prevents me from reaching out to those who really need to hear the gospel. That if my way, the way that I see the gospel, has become my idol. If my rules have become more important than God's rules. Especially when God's rules are challenging to me. Then I began to wonder about other characters. Am I maybe the Samaritan? Could that be? The one that goes and helps? That although I'm maybe set aside as different for my beliefs and made to feel like an outsider, that sometimes I help just because I know it's the right thing to do, even if it means losing friends, starting a conflict between family members. Wondered about even more characters. Am I the one who is left for dead, beaten up by the struggles of this world, lost and alone and not knowing what to do next? Or am I the robbers? Not beating up anyone and leaving them for dead in any physical altercation. I don't think I'm capable of that. But through my words and my actions, or my inaction, who have I left beaten down and left for dead? Maybe through my silence or my adherence to the status quo. I believe that we have a responsibility to our neighbors. And when topics get to be too controversial to talk about, I often err on the side of platitudes because I don't really have a solution, and I'm worried about offending others. So am I like the robbers? In my unwillingness to step outside of my comfort zone and stick up for the voiceless, to stick up for the families on the border, families on both sides of the cages, the personnel who work for border control, who despite the overwhelming and thankless work that they're doing, show up day in and day out and wonder if what they're doing is the right thing. And in the end, still needing to provide for their own well-being and for the well-being of their family. And the families and individuals who are caught in detention. I think we can agree that even if there is the slightest hint of abuse, the gospel isn't there. Am I like the robbers when I sit idly by and watch the 24-hour news cycle as it reveals countless situations of gun violence? Am I like the robbers when I rob from future generations of earth dwellers as I choose convenient packaging and waste over care and concern for the environment? I wonder. I wonder if I'm like the robbers when I'm too afraid of what others might say if I stand in solidarity with my LGBTQ siblings and tell them that God created them beloved, and that God loves them for who they are. And that's when I stop and think that maybe I'm wondering about this text all wrong. Sure, maybe it's helping me to see all of these things, becoming aware of my complacency. But maybe the point that I'm missing in Jesus' parable is that this story isn't a story about who I am, but it's a story about who God is. So I wonder, who is God in this story? this story is about who God is, our relationship with God, and how far God is willing to go in order to get to us. Jesus is telling a story of a God who doesn't care what anybody thinks, and regardless of a situation, relentlessly cares for those in need. Jesus is telling us a story about how God is willing to give everything in order to save us and to save our neighbor, oftentimes in spite of us. When I switched my question from who am I in this story to who God is in this parable, the parable burst open. It radically shifted. That this story isn't about how we should reach out to a world in need. This isn't just a story that illustrates to us who our neighbor is and the things that we are called to do. Jesus is telling us about the kingdom of God. That through the cross of Christ, Jesus died for us, so that we might receive the fullness of God's grace and love. God's grace is sort of like the lawyer in our gospel reading today, who bravely asked, "Who is my neighbor?" and answered his own question with the one who showed him mercy. Who are those in our midst who are asking these questions? Lawyers and lawmakers, people like you and me, who today are giving a voice to the voiceless, turning our attention to protecting the environment, establishing equal rights, and freeing those who are imprisoned at the border, redeeming those in our society that we have left beaten and broken on the side of the road. Because it's in God's grace that God reaches into the deepest darkness. We hear the same message today in Paul's letter to the Colossians. He says, "He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins." This is the gospel truth. Even when we're beaten and broken by this world, even when we are the priestly types that walk by on the other side of the road, even when we are the Samaritans who feel like an outsider but are trying to do the right thing, even when we are like the robbers and we don't do the right thing because we're scared or angry or pick whatever adjective fits you today. When we cry out and when we don't have the strength to cry out. When we're good and when we're bad and when we're somewhere in between. Even and especially then, God reaches out to us. God is reaching out to you, loves you with an unconditional love. God finds you and leaves you better than God found you. God has shown us mercy. Go and do likewise. Amen. Amen.